Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, DA. How are you?
Good morning, my neighbor!
Get off!
Damon Amendola.
Yes, how are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, buddy.
Baby, it's a brand new day. Ain't no clouds hanging over me. Something doesn't feel the same.
Today.
Yeah.
Bing the bang the boom dong boom DJ.
Let the big doggy.
DA, great question.
All aboard
the dog.
This is why you do what you do.
Yo.
Somebody stop me.
I'm coming to you to be fat. Let me be fat.
Look it.
There's so many sickos in this country.
This is facts.
A little more juice.
What?
I am broken.
Good morning.
CBS Sports Radio.
Well, as I was saying, I was listening to the radio. I heard something.
And what did you hear?
A hissing sound like this.
Hey, DA, let me aboard that mothership.
Permission to board that mothership, sir.
Well, you know I had to slide through the intergalactic swag party.
DA, man, beam me up.
What's going on, my brother from another mother? Beam me up.
You guys are the best.
You guys make it.
Permission to board that mothership.
What's up, DA, brother?
Mothership has connected.
And you the man, DA.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour satellite soiree. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, New Mexico to New Jersey, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Good show lined up for you this morning. The sounds of Saturday continue. The Texas Longhorns, the favorites in the Big 12, as they will exit stage left from the conference after the end of the season. Last year for the Longhorns in the Big 12 and big expectations. Quinn Ewers, your starting quarterback. Ark Manning, right behind him. We'll talk to their voice, Craig Way, joining us on the show coming up, Hour 4. Also, Hour 4, one of the great relievers in baseball history, Tom Flash Gordon, to talk some baseball with us. Also, again, Hour 4. This hour in 20 minutes. Angel Hernandez, do we finally have him out of our lives here soon? And in 40 minutes, a Wednesday staple, a champ and a chump. We begin in the NFL, where Anthony Richardson, rookie quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, will be the week one starter. Just one preseason game in, with some mixed results, and the Colts have decided Richardson has been elevated to the starting QB. QB1, as it were. Even he admitted he was shocked at the news. Is this the right move, or is Indianapolis rushing Richardson? It is where we begin. You're cold open.
He's got big-time playmaking ability, and, you know, that's been, you know, showcased in, you know, training camp. And then, obviously, he did some really good things in that preseason game. So, you know, I think he brings that playmaking ability, you know, that we need.
It was just hearing the words, you know, because you work for it. I didn't know when the timeline was going to be. You know, I was just looking forward to week one and just being ready for the opportunity and getting thrown in the fire, hopefully. But, you know, he told me, and I'm just like, wow, it really happened. So, you know, I'm thankful. You know, I'm blessed. And I just got to keep working and just keep building on this opportunity.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Hart Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Well, what you heard there was the head coach and the quarterback, Shane Steichen, making the decision, and then Anthony Richardson responding to it. So here's the bit. This was predetermined. And in some ways, I feel bad for Shane Steichen. Now, look, you're a head coach of the NFL. You got a job. You're one of 32. And so you can't feel too bad for the guy. But I don't think this was his decision. I think this was, again, predetermined by the owner, Jim Irsay, that wanted to see this. They've had tons of turnover at the quarterback position for the last 5, 6, 7 years. Irsay's sick of it. They drafted Anthony Richardson. Basically, come hell or high water, he's going to be the starting quarterback. And the owner says, I want to see him as the starting quarterback. What are you going to do? You're going to fight that as a first-time rookie head coach? It's not going to happen. So I think that Steichen, this is not even his decision. It was never his decision. And that Irsay determined this long time ago, and this was always the plan. I mean, they elevated Richardson to QB1 during training camp. I mean, during OTAs, basically, they were ready to do this. And Irsay said he drew up this play and he told us all that this is what was going to happen, that he has to play. Now, I think a lot of this is just Irsay and his exhaustion with trying to find a solution to the never-ending Andrew Luck void. I mean, we're still talking about, can Luck come back? Will he ever play football again? Do you reach out to him? What's he doing? Where was he spotted? He was in the frozen food section of Piggly Wiggly on Saturday. He looked like he could still play. And because of that, there's a desperation for Irsay to finally fix this. And I think Colts fans as well fix the quarterback position. But I just don't think that's ever the right attitude. I think you have to make sure the young man is right and the situation is right. And it isn't draft QB, add water, mix, and you have a starting quarterback. And I just think that's what's happening here. Clearly, he's got ability. Clearly, we saw some flash plays during his year last year with the Gators. Clearly, coming out of college and during the pro day and everything, we saw some really wonderful moments, but he's incredibly raw. And when he was drafted, everybody admitted that this is a young man that needs to sit. And I find it funny that today, if you canvassed NFL quote-unquote experts, observers, former players, etc., mostly you'll get a round of positive reviews for this decision. That if he's gonna be good, he better play now. You gotta start right away, get him experience. That's the only way for him to get better. And I really think that's just because we as a fandom want to see something new. We want to see young, exciting players. And so even if it's worse for them, we want to see them in there. And so you just start framing your argument that way. Because is it more interesting to have Anthony Richardson as a starting quarterback for the Colts or Gardner Minshew? Of course it's Richardson. We know what Minshew is. That doesn't get anybody excited. And the Colts aren't really contenders. So to make them kind of interesting, let's see what the kid's got. And yet, it's like everybody that's ever talked about football conveniently forgets that the three greatest quarterbacks, arguably, in NFL history, at least two of them and one on the way, all sat their rookie season. All of them. Joe Montana, drafted 1979. Sat behind Steve DeBerg. Tom Brady, 2000, sat behind Drew Bledsoe. And Patrick Mahomes, in 2018, sat behind Alex Smith. All of them for a full season. Now, yes, there are always exceptions to that rule. A guy like Peyton Manning drafted Troy Aikman, drafted day one, bad football team. They're ready to go. But the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, at least a handful of them, certainly benefited from not being thrown in there day one. It is impossible to argue. That's a pretty good sample size. Montana, Brady, Mahomes. All of them say they benefited from watching for a year. Everybody just conveniently forgets. Oh, we got to see the kid. Now, is it a different era today than when Montana doesn't get in or even Brady doesn't get in? Sure. Sure, it's a different beast. That Anthony Richardson has taken more snaps at a higher level, more Elite 11 camps and NFL caliber offenses in college and all of this stuff during OTAs and rookie camps that are far more advanced, yes. But I find it irresponsible, to be quite frank, when NFL observers just kind of want to see the kids out there, so they go, well, put them in there. When in reality, there's no doubt it's not a hindrance to sit. It's never a hindrance. Some guys, it's a neutral that you play right away. You're able to get over your bumps and bruises and, you know, you're able to make mistakes and you're okay, like Peyton Manning. But even Peyton Manning, if he sat for 8 weeks, couldn't have said that was worse for my career. He might have gotten where he got faster, but there's no way your career's ruined by sitting for 8 weeks. There are plenty of quarterbacks who are ruined by not sitting early. Play for a bad football team, maybe a bad coaching staff, maybe you don't have a lot of great weapons around you. You make some mistakes. You make a lot of mistakes. The pressure starts getting crushing. You lose confidence. It's going too fast. You never get your footing. That happens. I hope it doesn't happen to Anthony Richardson. I really do. I hope it does not happen. Because I root for all these young guys to succeed. The league is better when all these teams have good quarterbacking. And the league isn't better if Gardner Minshew is in there. It's better if Anthony Richardson works out. But I said this when Ursay started banging the drum on it. Why? What's the use in rushing him? So that you know by the end of this season that you still have 3 or 4 more years on the rookie deal. Do you have to figure it out by the end of year two? Yeah, you'd prefer that. But at the risk of ruining a kid, do you have to know right away? I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. And it's happening in Indianapolis, and I hope he survives. I hope it's okay. But there's certainly a risk here to starting him day one, rookie, totally raw. It's not like this is a polished product. It's not like this is a young man that, you know, came in and everybody said he's like Andrew Luck. You could just throw him in there day one. He's going to be fine. That's not the way Anthony Richardson was viewed when he was drafted. And yet suddenly everyone's just going to ignore that. I don't like it. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. You know, yesterday was Trash Tuesday, and so we got to a lot of trashes, but not all of them because hour four was so stacked. We had Tony Castricone, who's the voice of the Huskies, who joined us for Sounds of Saturday. We also talked about the Michael Orr situation because I had Michael in studio last week when I filled in for Rome, so we did a lot on that. We get to that final segment. Caserta has stunned to a news, so we were jammed. So I didn't get to a bunch of stuff that I wanted to get to in that hour number four, one of which was Art Bobart. Yesterday, we had a story about how Derek Jeter may have ruined Art in Miami because Jeffrey Lurie, a former Marlins owner, said when Jeter took over, he took down that giant seafood tower in center field. He put it out in the plaza, and now it's just going to rot to hell. And the story was, does Derek Jeter hate Art? Which I thought was the funniest or one of the funnier ways to frame that topic, that Derek Jeter just looks at Art and blah, get it out of here, off with its head. So that was the tagline, does Derek Jeter hate Art, on that topic yesterday for the simulcast. And then the headline was Art Bobart. Now, Art Bobart has been a listener to the show for a long time, and we all get a kick out of that name. In fact, I think out of all of the names, we've oftentimes said if we ever had a nickname of the listener, D'Alien Twitter handle draft, Art Bobart might be the number one pick, at least by Pete the Body.
Oh, yes, there was another guy named Larry Appleton, which was good too.
Oh yeah, that was a great one. And there's always, I mean, these really creative Twitter handles based on things we talk about on the show. So Art Bobart had a couple of listeners saying, hey, did you see that they gave you this run during the show? And he was going to trash me for stealing his name and using it without copyright. And I just wanted to clarify, because this became kind of a thing on social media yesterday, I want you to know that I did it out of an honoring of Art Bobart. I wanted it to be a tip of the cap to one of the great nicknames on the show. And even though there were people that watched the simulcast yesterday and said, I don't understand this headline at all. Why does a Derek Jeter Florida Marlins story have Art Bobart as the headline? It was in honor of the great D'Aliens and the creativity behind many of their Twitter handles.
I don't know why Art would be offended.
I couldn't tell if it was real offended or it was for the show offended, but I just wanted to clarify that it was a hat tip to Art.
Yes, definitely. I was really, I was happy to see it, to be honest. It gave me a smile to see that headline.
That was the point.
Yeah.
When we come back here on the show, Angel Hernandez has been ruining baseball fans' lives for a long time, and players and managers. Will we finally get rid of him? That's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Never be that guy of, oh, you know, I could have made it pro. Unless you made it pro, you didn't make it pro.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Dog.
Welcome back. 22 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Wednesday. You can always listen to the show in podcast form. The best of the show or the full 4 hours available everywhere that you get your podcast. Simply search the DA show on your favorite podcast platform. Download and enjoy. Angel Hernandez has been a problem for a long time behind the plate in Major League Baseball. There is no umpire who is as criticized, as frowned upon, as picked apart, scrutinized on social media for all of his awful calls. And it's become kind of a joke that every time Angel Hernandez works a game, you thoroughly expect him to call a strike zone completely at his own whim, and that has no continuity to any other strike zone, and you just kind of know that the game is going to get out of control. He's going to have an ego. He's going to insert himself. You just know it. It's kind of cartoonish at this point. It's like, uh-oh, here's the Angel Hernandez stuff. Now, I have continually wondered, why in the hell does Major League Baseball keep employing Angel Hernandez? I mean, by every metric, he's the worst ump. Every study, every metric, everything, we all can see he's the worst ump, and yet he continually gets good gigs. Well, Angel Hernandez filed a discrimination lawsuit against Major League Baseball, and it was originally shot down. He then appealed, and that has also been rejected by the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Manhattan. 3-0 decision on the bench, and puts the lawsuit from Angel Hernandez likely to bed. He originally filed it in 2017. At that point in time, the Cuban-born Hernandez filed a lawsuit alleging racial discrimination. Among the complaints in the original filing, Hernandez's lack of having been promoted to a crew chief for a World Series assignment since 2005. Now, I don't think this one is a hard one to read. Baseball's given him really good games, but maybe not a World Series. But he's, I mean, objectively terrible. I don't even think the biggest Angel Hernandez fan could argue that he's been objectively terrible when he has worked, and he, again, injects himself into the middle of games, that his persona, his ego, his whatever keeps kind of getting in the way. And, like, my hope here is that baseball felt like it had to keep giving him good gigs in the middle of this lawsuit so that it didn't fuel the lawsuit. And that now, once it's really kind of dead, 6 years later, he filed it in 2017 and now it's gone through multiple appeals, that finally now that it seems to be dead, baseball could just get rid of him. I mean, look, it's a real shame. Angel Hernandez is, again, objectively terrible. I'm sure there are Latin, Cuban-born, or umps of color that are far superior under him in the minors or somewhere else that can take the job, a job. I don't think there's any way Angel Hernandez is even plausibly the best Latin or the best Cuban-born umpire out there. There's just no way. So can we just get all of the people better than him to rise above him, get him out of here, get him out, so we can be done with the Angel Hernandez problem? I mean, you guys are baseball fans. Carlos, I mean, he's a disaster.
This story is insulting to me, DA, because there's one of two things with Hernandez. Either he has no shame or he doesn't know. And if he doesn't have any shame, I have no sympathy for him. But if he doesn't know, you don't know what discrimination is, dude. Discrimination is not getting the apartment because your name doesn't match your credit score, all right? Discrimination is not being able to use your name at a job. I had to go by Charlie for 3 years. So you want to claim racial discrimination? You're a joke. You're a clown. I'll say it in Spanish. Tú eres un payaso. You're making the rest of us look bad. You're a disgrace. You should be embarrassed and resign if your ass is not fired by the end of the day.
He's probably going to finish out the season, and then I have to wonder what Major League Baseball does at the end of the year. But, I mean, you'd hope that they can just move on and Hernandez goes to, like, some independent league or something like
yeah,
that.
This one boggles my mind because I believe he just buys into his own BS because he's done it for so long. You could go back to 1998, and I will guarantee that there's at least one call he's made every year since 98 that have had an impact on standings. And starts off in 98, at least from my standpoint, because the first big call he blew was in 98. Mets are making a run in the playoffs, They're playing the Braves. It's a Sunday, and he has to get out of town. And he makes a bad call at the plate. Braves win, Mets don't make the playoffs that year. And we find out he had to catch a flight.
I mean, the guy had to catch a flight.
Right. So I will guarantee from 98 on, he's made a call that has screwed up standings at least once in each season.
Seems
it's ridiculous.
Highly likely that, yeah, every year he affects who makes the playoffs and who doesn't.
He had three overturned calls at first base in the Yankees versus Red Sox. Three. You're one job. Did you make it? No, you're out. Yes, you're safe. You screwed up three times at first base. Get him out of here.
Yeah, not only is he ineffective in terms of his eyesight or judgment, but the leader of the MLB officiating staff said that he has an overly confrontational style of umpiring. And that's the other part. Not only is he just seemingly ineffective, but he also creates friction with everything because people argue, what'd you see there when he blows all these calls? And he starts by throwing people out or getting into arguments. Uh-huh. And so everybody fears getting Angel Hernandez on their game. Everybody's like, oh, God, not Angel Hernandez today.
He runs to the fights. Whenever there's an issue, you see him walking toward the issue instead of walking away from the issue or trying to settle the issue. He always gets involved and pours gasoline on the fire.
He incites. Anything. He constantly incites. Mm-hmm. And so now that the lawsuit's dismissed, hopefully baseball can get rid of him. I don't know. You keep wondering why he keeps getting decent jobs.
Get him out.
And you just wonder if it's because baseball wanted to avoid more fuel onto the lawsuit.
Get him out.
Chris Lopresti is in for headline today. I mean, CeeLo, might this be the end, finally, of Angel Hernandez?
Oh, let's hope for all of our sakes that it is. My favorite part, though, of what you said was even the biggest Angel Hernandez fan.
If there is one.
Right, exactly. I get it. Figure of speech. Point being, like, even the non-objective person would have to admit that he struggles out there. And I'm not knocking Carlos at all. He doesn't know or he doesn't get it. He gets it. He knows. There's no way he can't know.
He knows he's bad, you think?
That he's bad and that he's a thing.
He's a thing. He knows he's a thing.
You know?
Yeah, as Pete said, he feeds into his own BS.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely feel that way.
Yeah, he feeds off it. He thinks he probably thinks it's funny. He probably thinks some of it is funny. And we're the fools because he's so terrible.
Unless he also thinks he's bulletproof because he's gone through this lawsuit. He knows that they can't touch him during the lawsuit.
I guess.
It's 6 years later.
Still, though, man, have some self-pride, right?
Right? Like, how can you not just want to do a good job?
Yeah, or if you do a bad job, not be confrontational about it and be like, no, I was right. You're wrong. I know what I'm talking about. I'm great. You suck.
Big ego, collect the check, hide behind the union. That's what he does.
Catch a flight.
Yep, catch a flight. There you go. Screw up the Mets' playoff chances in 98.
Carlos with a K, you had to go by Charlie for three years?
I had to take a job, and I got it because, you know, I can speak, and I can say, because it was sales. But in order for me to work with certain parts of the country, my employers told me to change my name to Charlie. Boy. I worked as Charlie for 3 years. Do I look like a damn Charlie? No. So he doesn't know what real discrimination is. Mm-hmm. I grew up watching my mom get spit in the face for speaking Spanish. This guy is making everyone look bad. I've been hating him for years, and not because of this lawsuit, just because he's terrible at his job. Have some accountability. Take pride in your craft. Man, if I'm out there cutting tape and I mislabel it and I put Oklahoma football and it's freaking Hawaiian baseball, I should get chewed out. I shouldn't get rewarded. He's trying to fall off.
Are we cutting a lot of Hawaiian baseball?
That's what I was wondering.
Well, who knows?
That's how bad Angel Hernandez is. That's the analogy.
I mean, seriously, what are we doing here? Get him out of here.
Were you Charlie Ortiz, or you just didn't use your last name?
No, I went by Charlie O, and it was so silly. On my email signature, it did have my last name, so I'm like, why are you changing the first?
Yeah. Which is you can
just
stay with
as
Carlos
as my second. Yeah.
The employer telling him, I want to go by Charlie in these parts.
Charlie.
He's like, you play well in Nebraska as Charlie.
Hey, when I took my job in Kansas City, they said Amendolar is too ethnic. You can't use that. I said, what am I going to do? They said, can you use your initials? I said, all right.
Okay. And thus the DA show.
If only Francesa knew that part.
Did you have a plan if they told you to get a shorter stage last name?
When I was in college, my program director, who was an adult, said, have you thought about changing your last name? I said, I haven't really. And he said, maybe Damon Dolara. And I was like, I don't really like Damon Dolara.
Double D?
And when I first got the job in Kansas City, they started doing imaging, practice imaging. And my producer at the time, I had never met him before, called me. He's like, hey, just so you know, they're doing practice imaging and it's not your name. I said, what are they doing? He said, Damon Amon. And I was like, oh,
that's right.
No,
that's right.
That's really bad.
That's worse.
Yeah. It reminds me of Married with Children, where the neighbor was Marcy Darcy.
Marcy Darcy. And she didn't realize it until after she married him.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not being Damon Amon. So right. We had the meeting. I said, hey, I don't really want to go by Damon Amon.
No.
I said, well, how about the initials? I said, okay, I can live with that.
Damon is better.
Damon.
It's like wedding singer.
Watch Damon take Eamon at the coach's baffle.
Damon.
Your name's going to be Julia Guglia.
Julia Guglia.
I love your distinction, by the way. When I was in college, my program director, he was an adult.
Yeah, because when you're a student at student radio, I tell the story, I'm always wondering if they think a kid told me I had to change my name.
Bob was the program director.
That would be really demoralizing.
My sophomore program director.
Yeah, the 16-year-old told me I had to change my name.
He's buying his books during morning drive.
Oh, God.
CeeLo is in for headlines.
All right, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. So it took just one quarter of preseason action for rookie Anthony Richardson to get the nod from first-year Colts head coach Shane Steichen. Richardson will be his week one starting QB. Steichen asked, why make that call at this juncture?
Like I said, I think we need more reps. You know, keep getting the more reps, keep creating that chemistry with the ones. The more reps he gets, the more he sees, the more looks he sees, you know, he's going to be better for it.
Now, the fourth
overall
pick.
Also, my owner told me I had to do this.
Yeah, that's probably the more likely scenario.
At least he didn't have to change his name.
That's a good point. Fourth overall pick said he was shocked to get the news. Didn't see it coming. He had been in competition with the veteran Gardner Minshew, who followed Steichen to Indianapolis after being together with the Eagles. Meantime, just over 10 months after suffering the knee injury that ended his 2022 season, Broncos running back Javonte Williams set to take a significant step in his recovery. He will play in Denver's preseason game this Saturday night against the 49ers. To baseball now, where the New York Yankees have fallen back to .500 for the first time since May 1st. They were one hit and shut out by the Braves last night, 5-0. So last place in the AL East, fading in the wild card race, and 12-22 since the 4th of July. Aaron Judge, though, I guess not all that surprised.
Not a loss. You know, we're not showing up. That's what it comes down to. We're not showing up, you know, when we need to, you know, especially down the stretch right now. And, you know, when we got every opportunity to, you know, keep ourselves in the race, you know, we're, you know, not capitalizing when we need to. So that's all I got on that.
It's the
Aaron Judge. Garbage team right now.
Yeah. Latest in the season. They've been at .500 since 1995, and they'll be flirting with their first sub .500 season since 1992, which is hard to fathom.
They're
over
so
30
toast.
Years.
So toast.
Yes. Elsewhere, the Dodgers made it 9 in a row. They beat the Brewers 6-2 in a matchup of division leaders. The Giants blanked the Rays 7-0. Corey Seager homered twice and drove in 5, sending the Rangers past the Angels 7-3. And in San Diego, the Padres cooled off the first place Orioles.
And that's hit in the air to right field. Santander's going back. He's at the wall. This one gonna go. First grand slam of the season for the Padres comes on August 15th. It comes off the bat of Gary Sanchez.
Padres ready on the call. Sanchez, 16 homers now in 57 games since joining San Diego. They dumped the O's by a final score of 10-3. 6 matches, 9 goals, 1 finals appearance. Lionel Messi continued to amaze stateside last night, scoring in Inter Miami's 4-1 win over the Philadelphia Union, putting his squad into the League's Cup final. Meantime, the New York Liberty beat the defending champion Las Vegas Aces 82-63, capturing the WNBA's in-season title, the Commissioner's Cup Trophy. And just to circle back to football sort of at the end here, you mentioned you had Michael Orr, did you say last week it was?
Yeah.
So the whole situation, his allegations against the family that took him in. Well, they since responded yesterday, and they say that he threatened to go public with his story if they didn't pay him $15 million. This, of course, came through the family attorney, who put out a statement calling Orr's claims outlandish. And the idea that the family ever sought to profit off Mr. Orr is not only offensive, it is transparently ridiculous. In reality, they opened their home to him, offered him structure, support, and most of all, unconditional love. They have consistently treated him like a son and one of their 3 children. His response was to threaten them, including saying he would plant a negative story about them in the press unless they paid him $15 million bucks. So I sense we haven't heard the end of this situation.
So is it possible that there's an uncomfortable truth on both sides where they definitely did bring him in? They definitely did provide him stability in a home. They definitely did help him. But they also signed paperwork that didn't completely allow him to control his finances, and that he also has maybe tried to blackmail them, right, or manipulate them into more money or something like that. It doesn't feel like either side right now is completely clean of of some type of I don't know.
And it also blew my mind that between Orr and the family, like, that movie grossed $300 million, and the story I read made it seem like collectively they made like less than $100,000 off of it. Like,
yeah, it didn't seem like. But did they make more money off the book or the?
Yeah,
so how it's supposed to be structured? They were supposedly given $225,000 each, and then they got 2.5% of royalties
off the movie.
Okay.
But
so there was
Orr did not make $225,000.
Correct. So you're correct. Or reportedly, it was the two natural birth children, the parents. So they split, like, I guess $1 million between the four of them.
Mm. Yes.
And then they got the 2.5. And then the contention is that Orr didn't get a dime from it.
Right.
So that's where he's annoyed. He got cut out of that part.
And then it is possible that they have stonewalled that to this point in time, and then he's now tried to drop a bomb and tried to blackmail them, and that's obviously not a great look either. It feels to me that neither side is an angel.
Something's
in this
missing
situation.
Here. Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, CeeLo. Yep. When we come back here on the show, we've got a champ and we've got a chump, a Wednesday staple. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Only one letter separates them, but they're galaxies apart. One is a true winner. One is a pathetic loser. This is DA's champ or chump.
Welcome back, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. You can always listen to us on hundreds of affiliates nationwide and also on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network on the CBS Sports app or the Odyssey app as well. Well, the deadly wildfires that have ripped through Hawaii have been a really sad story, but there is one college football player that is donating his NIL money to the cause. Lokahi Paul is actually donating his NIL money to victims of those wildfires. And he's a young man that keeps Hawaii close to his heart. He's from the area. He understands what they're going through. And there's a lot of college kids out there that, you know, might only think about themselves or might only be in their own little worlds or it might be ways away from that. Lokahi is actually playing at UCF, so he's on the opposite end of the country. He's in Florida, and yet he's looking at those devastated by this and donating his NIL to it. So I thought that was a strong move, a lot of maturity, a lot of perspective. He's a great young man. He's a tremendous offensive line prospect. UCF is going into the Big 12 this year. He comes back for another season, and I think they're excited about having him, but not only on the football field, but clearly off of the football field as well. A big-time move and a selfless move, so nice job by him, and he is the champ this morning.
That's DA's champ.
Your chump is chumps multiple, and that is both Daryl Morey and James Harden. They belong with one another. When you have James Harden going across seas to call out Daryl Morey as a liar and saying it twice for effect, James Harden gets whatever he deserves or deserves whatever he gets because he's a guy that shoots his way out of town everywhere that he's ever been, whether it's Houston, Brooklyn, now Philadelphia, never happy, always somebody else's fault, always he deserves better, he was lied to, he needs a different situation, he can't win this way, he can't live this way, you know, all of the drama that surrounds James Harden, especially now in his career where he's never in shape or he's never consistently productive or he's never great in big spots or the playoffs. It's somewhat ridiculous for that type of guy to be complaining about his situation. He doesn't seem to be bettering the other situations he's been in. But then also Daryl Morey, he knew what he was getting when he went in and got James Harden from Brooklyn. This is a reuniting after they worked together in Houston. And what do you expect? This is who James Harden is. So Morey can't sit there and play a victim either because, I mean, the guy has to know exactly what he's getting. So both of those dudes belong with one another. Both of those dudes can have the drama together, and both of those dudes can figure this out themselves. They are the chumps this morning.
That's DA's chump. Class is now dismissed.
Okay, Mark is in Arizona this morning here on the phones. Mark, good morning.
Hey, you forgot one soundbite.
What's that?
You forgot one sound bite.
Oh, okay. You mean in sound check?
No, sound bite for Mr. Hernandez.
Oh, okay. What do you got?
Vince McMahon saying you're fired.
Got it. Well, he's not fired yet. He only had the appeal to his lawsuit turned down. But maybe if he's done to the end of the season, we'll have to play that.
Well, wouldn't that be classic for him, though?
Wouldn't that be what?
Classic.
Yeah, classic. Yep. Yeah, hopefully we're done with Angel Hernandez here soon. What else is on your mind, Mark?
Well, the Cardinals, actually. I did a little research, and it would seem that our Cardinals, despite all the rumblings in the front office and stuff, might be pretty good this year. What do you think?
Well, when's Kyler Murray going to come back?
They're estimating week 8.
Okay. So what do you think the Cardinals are in the first half of the season without Kyler?
I want to say at least 5-2 or 5-3.
Without Kyler Murray, you think they could be 5-2?
Yeah, I do. Because the reason it's already known. It's okay. The reason being, the reason I say that because we've got some new people that they brought on that seem quite promising. They got rid of Mr. Hopkins, and Larry Fitzgerald back.
Larry Fitzgerald? How old is Larry Fitzgerald?
Wake up!
Wait a minute. Larry Fitzgerald might be old, but he's got a lot left in him. Because if you remember, he has had at least 4 years or so of downtime. So he's been resting. So you don't take that into account? It's possible. Anything is possible when it comes to...
He's almost 40. He's almost 40.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Okay, what about when we were in the Super Bowl with the Steelers? One play messed us up on that interception.
Mark, that Super Bowl was 2008. That is a long time. That's 15 years ago.
The reason why I mentioned that and what we're going through right now, because you got to look at it this way.
I don't think Larry Fitzgerald is coming back. I think he's retired.
Larry signed a deal.
He's going to play this year?
He is going to play this year.
Oh, okay. All right. How much?
He's going to be, I don't know the total amount, but he's going to be, from what I understand, the highest paid player ever.
Okay.
You don't believe me? Check it.
Well, look, Fitzgerald is one of the great wide receivers of all time and a future Hall of Famer. I don't think, even if he plays this year, a 39-year-old Larry Fitzgerald with Colt McCoy for the first 8 games is going to go 5-2.
If they go 5-2, I want to put this to you.
Yeah.
I want to be able to meet you and get your autograph.
You can do that. We can set that up even without the Cardinals going on a Cinderella run. It's just you got to make it to New York somehow.
No, see, that's the thing. I'm a senior, but I would love to experience that at least one time before I'm 64.
Have you always lived in Arizona?
Since 1988.
Oh, so you've been there a long time, basically as long as the Cardinals have been there.
They were there since what, 1980?
Yeah, right around there. I think the Cardinals actually moved to Arizona after the 87 season. I think that's when they actually moved, right around when you were there.
But did you know the best Cardinal team was when Jake Plummer was their quarterback?
Yeah. The 96 team, I think it was?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 98, maybe? Maybe 98.
Right in that era. And the only reason I say that is because they had a lot of similarities like Ben Roethlisberger did with the Steelers in 2008 when he won the Super Bowl.
This year's Cardinals team, you mean?
No, not this year's Cardinals. The 2008 Cardinals are similar to what Ben Roethlisberger.
I hear you, Mark. Well, thank you very much for calling, and I appreciate your patronage to the show. I appreciate the call.
What was that?
Colt McCoy's going to go 5-2? How long were you going to drag that? Well, Colt McCoy, 5-2. This guy hasn't won 5 games in a single season.
If you could only have seen both Pete the Body and Carlos with a K flipping out on the other side of the glasses, I took Mark in Arizona's
call. Wake up. Wake up. If you're going to call this show, have a point and wake up. Thank you.
Well, his point was the Cardinals are going to be really good this year.
He was half asleep. He probably didn't know what he just said.
A top 5 offense without their number 1 quarterback for half the season. Makes sense, Mark.
Can somebody check, is Larry Fitzgerald playing this year? I thought he was retired.
He was doing Westwood One.
I mean, seriously. You're still doing that Brady podcast with Jim Gray? When we come back here on the show, can the Big 12 and Pac 12 be friends again? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Wake up!
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, and the DA show is always available on your smart speaker as well. Just tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. We begin with Lamar Jackson. Todd Monken is the new OC in Baltimore. And Monken is so open-minded, has such an open-door policy that he has said, Lamar, if you want to bring plays to me that you really like, we will try to put them into the offense. And Lamar Jackson did exactly that.
Actually, I was just on social media, and I seen, like, a couple of routes, and I sent it to Coach T. And he was like, he going to relay the message to Coach Monken. And Coach Monken liked the play, so he put it in practice. We didn't show it today, but I feel like it'll be good for us.
So Lamar found plays on social media.
Yeah, where did he go to plays.com? Like, I don't exactly know where he found them.
He follows the handle at Hot Plays. ZZZ, Plays. And loved him, brought him to Monken. Munkin's like, okay, let's do it. Which, talk about empowering Lamar Jackson. But the Ravens have run this play, part of the pun, for a while now. They, in the offseason, they didn't want to give up Lamar Jackson, didn't want to trade Lamar Jackson. He was making all that noise. He didn't want to be there. He couldn't trust them. He wasn't going to put his body on the line anymore for them. He wanted Deshaun Watson money. And all the Ravens did was say, we love him. We respect him. We want him here. We want him to be a Raven. He's a great leader. He puts in the work. They just kept saying the same company lines, which was, we love him, we want him to be here, we have no complaints about him. And that greased the skids, because without ever saying anything negative, they never added any fuel to the fire. And they never gave Lamar Jackson a reason to really be mad at them. They just kept saying all the nice things. And it's, if you ever get into a fight with a spouse and they are yelling at you, or they are absolutely, you know, crushing you for something, and if you would just really play it nice, sorry, you're right. You know, you look beautiful today. Boy, you know what? Your hair is just perfect. You smell really good. You're a wonderful parent. If you just keep saying that, it just ends up pulling the pin out of all of the air and the steam, and it lets it out. It's letting the air out of the balloon. And so that's what they did. And in doing so, they wanted to empower, clearly, Lamar Jackson. Let him feel wanted. Let him feel empowered. Let's get the most out of him. And so they hired an offensive coordinator that was going to build an offense around him. And now that offensive coordinator is going so far, it's like, bring me your plays. All right, I just saw this on, like, House of Highlights. Let's run it. Yeah, let's try that. Last night, Justin Turner for the Boston Red Sox at the plate. Top 4, 2 away, as the Red Sox lead the Nationals 5-4 in D.C., there is a called third strike, and neither broadcast can believe it how bad this call was. Shockingly, Angel Hernandez not behind the plate. Here are the calls, courtesy of Dave LeBron and Tim Caron on Nesson, and then also the Nats broadcast on Masson.
3-2, and a delayed call, but strike three. Hung him up.
Wow.
Wow. Well, the Red Sox can't believe it, but they are in front.
No. Wait. This is not a strike.
Off the plate. Sure wasn't.
Pitch.
Strike three call.
Oh, my goodness. Turner will not believe it.
That is awful.
So that's both broadcast teams, both the Red Sox and the Nats, going, oh, my God, I can't believe it. Oh, my goodness. No way. Now, this throw is 4 inches to the outside of the strike zone. I mean, it's well outside, and it's high, but it's well outside. And ump just rings him up. Boom. Done. Let's go to the fifth, or let's go to the bottom of the fourth.
No, get a flight.
Part of the fourth. And it reminds me of the Angel Hernandez got to catch a flight story.
Yeah, but exactly what it is.
Maybe it's baseball just saying, hey, we want to speed up the game. You know, make sure that we've condensed.
Well, here's the other thing. I mean, we had a bunch of umpires retire this past year, right? Or depart. And some of these new umpires have been god-awful, along with the guys that stink anyway, like Laz Diaz and Angel Hernandez. So you've added a bunch of new umpires that stink, along with the old umpires that stink. So you're not going to really get much out of that.
Phil Cuzzi still around? I lost track. We put him on that list.
Robot umps. It's the only way. This is just another log of the fire of robot umps.
That's right. Johnny Five, bring him out.
That's right.
Let's go.
Stephanie, that's a strike.
I'm Johnny Five. I'm alive.
No disassemble. Stephanie, no disassemble.
Well, have the catchers call it. I mean, it might be more accurate than the actual umpires.
Have the catchers.
Imagine the catchers just narking on themselves. No. That was a ball, man. Definitely a ball.
It's like playing football in the backyard and you have to call your own penalties.
Honor system.
That's pass interference.
Yeah.
Playing pickup. Now, that's definitely a hack. That's a foul.
I hit you on the wrist, bro. You got the ball. Get the ball.
I like that idea. Might lead to some more, you know, catcher-batter confrontations, some more benches clearing incidents.
I just don't get it. We have so much technology, replays, all of this, and our umpiring is worse. How is that possible?
Because they're relying on the replays to bail them out.
Maybe that's it.
And we have better looks than we've ever had before.
But this is a traditional look at this.
This is different,
And Justin Turner doesn't even get mad. And it's amazing that the announcers are just like laughing. Oh, man, can you believe that? In football, there would be melt. Oh, how can this happen? This is going to change the course of the game. This can't happen. In baseball, there's so much bad umpiring, that people are just, they laugh about it. And the season's so long that it's like, it's just another really bad call.
Gonna happen.
What are you gonna? Yeah. Finally, here's James Harden's agent after Harden goes scorched earth on his GM.
James has a crazy hunger in him right now. If he got an MVP this season, I wouldn't be surprised. That's what kind of hunger he got in him right now. Just from the disrespect, you know, the free agency stuff, which I don't really want to get into, but 7 a.m., 2-hour, 3-hour practice, workout, come back. You know, the nutrition is you know, just even from the discipline from dieting. I just went to his house now. We did cardio for an hour. We got a photo shoot tomorrow. You know, we're going to get up in the morning and work out at 7 to 10 and then, you know, photo shoot from 11 to 2. And then he's going to play ball tomorrow at 5.
Exactly. That's it right there. He's working really hard on that photo shoot.
That is his agent, Troy Payne. First of all, what are the odds you could get at FanDuel right now on James Harden winning the NBA MVP next season?
Probably quite lofty.
7,000 to 1?
What
could you possibly get on odds?
You put a quarter in, get $2,000.
A chance Carlos Ortiz wins the NBA MVP.
I wouldn't be shocked if James Harden won the MVP because he's so hungry right now. And that hungry means I went over to his house, we did an hour of cardio, and then there's a photo shoot.
Three-hour photo shoot
after 1 hour of cardio. Something doesn't make sense proportion ratio-wise.
This guy is so freaking hungry, he's spending 3 hours doing a photo shoot for Adidas, guys. That's how hungry he really is.
Think about it, D.A. He's working up a sweat, running to change outfits, coming back, doesn't want to waste the photographer's time. He's respectful of the staff. He's got 18 outfits to burn through in only 3 hours. That's the cardio that we're not talking about.
Crazy hunger. And agents are there, by the way. This is from the Hidden Gems podcast. Agents are there, obviously, to promote their players and their clients. That happens in every industry. But at some point, you just sound like an idiot. When James Harden eats his way out of Houston in a fat suit, wears a fat suit, and then shoots his way to town in Brooklyn because he can't play there, and now calls Daryl Morey a liar in China and he can't play there as well. And we've all seen him collapse at the end of the season and last year in the postseason be a complete non-factor when it mattered most alongside Joel Embiid. When we all see that, for him to say, it wouldn't shock me if he's the MVP this year, and he's got a crazy hunger driven by a 3-hour photo shoot. I don't think you're doing your client any favors, but this is the circle that James Harden has himself in, that his agent is making him think those things and echoing all of that idiocy.
If you believe his agent,
yeah,
go to FanDuel.
Okay.
Most of the books have him like +5, +6, +7,000.
+5, 6, or 7,000.
FanDuel +11,000.
11,000 to 1.
That's what I'm seeing here. No. Plus 11. Not 11,000 to 1. Okay, but plus, so, meaning plus 11. You put down $100, you win right. 11 grand. Yeah. So what is that?
Still,
quick math.
11 to 1.
11 to 1. 11 to 1.
No, that's 110 to 1. Right.
I don't know. I'll take your word for it.
11 to 1 would be if you put down $100, you win $1,100. You're saying it's
11,000 plus 11,000. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Am I doing that?
I would have put down 10 cents.
Yeah.
Exactly.
100 to win 11,000.
5 cents, maybe.
5 cents. You throw a nickel on James Harden win the MVP this year.
You win like a dollar.
You went from a nickel to a dollar. It's a big disparity. That's a lot of faith if you put a dollar on James Harden.
Yeah.
Pete has been known to throw a few shekels on some things. Now with football season coming up, are you going to spread a little chicken seed again? You ready? Juice is flowing?
Maybe.
Oh.
Maybe.
That sounds tempered.
Well, see, I liked the Jets coming in to this season, but now everyone's getting on the Jet bandwagon.
Oh, yeah. Mm,
too so trendy.
I kind of don't like it anymore.
Okay, but, I mean, week to week, you'll throw a few.
A few shekels.
Throw shekels here and there.
Couple dimes, couple nickels.
Dimes and nickels.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Puts a nickel on James Harden, he wins $5.50.
That's right.
The long play. Put it in now for next summer's MVP award.
A quarter of a tank of gas.
No, a quarter. Maybe an eighth, a tenth.
All right, standing by with headlines, here is CeeLo Chris Lopresti.
All right, first-year head coach Shane Steichen wasting very little time in naming his starting quarterback. It'll be rookie Anthony Richardson for the Colts week one against the division rival Jaguars. Steichen making the announcement yesterday after Richardson went 7 of 12 for 67 yards in one quarter of preseason action against the Bills. They liked that he bounced back from an early interception and obviously high on his upside, the fourth overall pick.
Well, he's got big-time playmaking ability, and you know that's been showcased in training camp, and then obviously he did some really good things in that preseason game. I think he brings that playmaking ability that we need.
Richardson level-headed and humble as he gets set to officially begin his NFL journey.
I don't want to come in here and make it seem like that everything should be handed to me, because it definitely shouldn't. I have to work for everything, and they've been here working for everything, so I'm just trying to reciprocate the same thing and just continue to grind and continue to gain respect and trust from those guys.
Beat out the veteran Gardner Minshew, who will serve as the backup as he did for Shane Steichen's Eagles offense the last two seasons. Episode 2 of Hard Knocks with the Jets last night. Oz the Mentalist was featured a bit, brought in for a little entertainment with the Jet players. Bear with the audio here, but here he was with newcomer Mecole Hardman, asking him to look ahead and make a bold prediction.
I don't want you to imagine, you got a crystal ball in your hand. You see the future. Tell us, who do you see the Jets playing in this year's Super Bowl? Say, 49ers. 49ers. I'm putting you on the spot here. We're going to win. We know we're going to win. What's the final score going to be?
31-21.
Yeah? Because if all the pieces come together in a season, it can be absolute perfection, folks. Because that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the Jets and the 49ers. 31-21.
That's crazy. Hey, that's crazy.
So after Mr. Harbin makes his prediction out loud.
Where is that audio
it's recorded off a TV? In 93 in my bathtub.
Yeah. From where?
You know, someone's watching on TV and they're recording
on
with
social?
A cell phone. Yeah, it's out there on social media.
Why
somewhere.
Don't we just have the actual clip from
I said,
an actual?
Bear, we don't. I hadn't efforted that just yet. I don't have an HBO Max subscription to log okay. in and get the clean audio.
I'm gonna give
I'll
you
give you my password.
So, there you go. All right. Well.
So what did Mecole Hardman say?
You guys really couldn't hear that? I know it wasn't great. But,
no,
okay.
It sounded
so
like it was from World War II.
He said Angel Hernandez is a fraud.
Fair enough. I'll take the hit for that. So he asked her to make a prediction. Who are you going to face in the Super Bowl? 49ers. What's the score going to be? 31-21.
Oh.
As soon as he says that, Oz flips over a large white, you know, cue card, big index card, logos of the Jets and the 49ers, 31-21, written in printed black ink.
No.
Yep. 100%. And the room went nuts. I mean, you want to say it's a work and Hardman was in on it, I guess, but that's what went down. That was part of Hard Knocks last night. He also did some card trick with Aaron Rodgers that blew his mind.
Ah.
I'll play that for you better. That one I do have clean audio from next time.
Wow. So we're already into card tricks with the Great
yes.
Oz in episode two.
And apparently...
So, boy, what's the rest of the season going to look
I
like?
I don't know. But Adam Schefter said Oz the Mentalist was tremendous on Hard Knocks tonight with the Jets. It's just the opening act. Wait until his work with the Cowboys, Bengals, Packers, and Michigan Wolverines appears this season on ESPN Sunday NFL Countdown and College Game Day. So you're going to be getting a lot of Oz this year.
We're doing Oz the Mentalist all season long. This is a Hard Knocks, but it does not need to be on game day.
It's apparently going to be on game day with three NFL teams and Jim Harbaugh's Michigan Wolverines as well.
No.
Let's see the collective record after all that.
No.
DA hates it.
Why
hates it.
Exactly. Football is good enough without comedy. I never understood the Rob Riggle stuff. Why they always had to weave in stand-up.
Is this comedy, though?
Well,
this is like more on the magic side than
sure,
it is comedy,
okay,
right?
Even worse. What? What? But before Cowboys-Giants, we need Gallagher out there smashing watermelons? I mean, just do the football. It's good enough.
Oh, man.
Carrot Top doing stand-up at halftime.
Really?
Got to get those casual fans hooked out there.
Oh, we got Oz the Mentalist on multiple pregame shows? Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Here comes David Copperfield with a suitcase.
That's right. It's Siegfried and Roy.
Taming Bengals in front of the Cincinnati
Literally.
Bengals.
I'm going to make the audience disappear.
Yes. Oh.
Ratings are down.
Exactly. Oh. The Jets have a joint practice with the Bucs today. There were supposed to be two of them. They canceled for tomorrow, which I still don't understand the logistics of this. I get fine. You only want to do the one practice. Like, they were supposed to come in Wednesday and Thursday, and then they're playing each other Saturday night at MetLife Stadium, so the Bucs are going to be in town. So why not have them come for Thursday's session and cancel Wednesday's session? They did the reverse, and then the Bucks had to scatter and figure out where they were going to practice Thursday. And I guess the Giants were nice enough to open up their facility for the Bucks to use tomorrow. So I don't quite understand the logistics of all that. Maybe
ridiculous.
A little, former Jet head coach Todd Bowles. They're like, hey, you know what? Let's make life difficult on him and his team this week.
Oh, you think so?
No, I'm not. I'm sure that wasn't the case. I don't think Woody Johnson would stoop to those levels.
But
right?
So what? Basically, the Buccaneers just have to, figure out a way to buy time over the next, kill time over the next four days?
Well, they did, essentially, yeah. Well, they were going to practice today and tomorrow with the Jets, and then both teams are going to be off Friday, play Saturday night. So the Bucs were coming up for, a few days. But then Jets said, you know what, the Thursday session, we're going to just do it on our own.
Oh,
so the Bucs had to make alternate plans.
Did they at least
in the
give
area.
Them, an itinerary from Central Park to go see the
yeah,
Met?
Yeah, right, yeah. Go check out a Broadway show. Hit all the tourist attractions while you're looking for some time to kill.
Here's that really expensive mall by the Meadowlands.
Yes.
Yeah.
American Dream.
Yeah, they're going to be spending a lot of time.
They could help the indoor water
there's
park.
There's a Nickelodeon thing in there, too.
Yes,
I think there's a ski slope in there, right?
There is that.
Yeah, there's a ski slope, yeah.
Nickelodeon's the amusement park with the roller coasters and the rides.
Is
and then the water park is DreamWorks.
And an aquarium. No?
I can't afford to walk in that mall.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't. Be caught dead, stepping foot in that thing.
Isn't there an M&M store in there too as well?
That sounds about right.
I'm sure.
And that's where you want to go.
Just
get
the Bucks.
Park.
Need,
They tell the Bucks to go to the JCPenney next door.
That's right. Well, go get some watches or a couple ties.
Oh, boy. Baseball, Yankees lost again, shut out by the Braves 5-0.
That's
New York falls back to 500 for the first time since May 1st, and it's the latest in the season. They're at 500 since 1995. Dodgers made it 9 in a row. They beat the Brewers 6-2. Giants blanked the Rays 7-0. You had the Blue Jays over the Phillies 2-1, and Toronto plated the go-ahead run on a hit batsman in the 8th inning. Kyle Tucker added again. He had the go-ahead homer for the Astros. They edged the Marlins 6-5.
They won!
Arlington. It was the Corey Seager show last night.
First pitch to Seager. He swings. It's a high fly ball to right field. Renfro turns. He watches. That one, long gone. A majestic home run off the bat of Corey Seager that touched the moon.
Always good when you can touch the moon. Rangers radio with the call. Seager homer twice, drove in 5, sending Texas past the Angels 7-3. Lionel Messi scored again, helping Inter Miami beat the Philadelphia Union 4-1, moving his squad into the League's Cup final. And the New York Liberty beat the defending champion Las Vegas Aces 82-63. The Liberty captured the WNBA's in-season title, the Commissioner's Cup. It is the first title in any way, shape, or form for the Liberty since they were one of the original WNBA franchises.
Would you eat the moon if it was made of ribs?
Hi. I got a simple question for you. Would you eat the moon if it were made of barbecue spare ribs?
Would you eat the moon?
I'd wash it down with a nice cold Budweiser.
1995, last time that the Yankees were 500 this late in the season. Guys, give me one factoid about your life in 1995. Think back. 1995, one factoid about your life. CeeLo?
I was living in Northern Virginia as a Yankee fan out of market. How about that?
Wow. And how old were you?
I was 9.
Wow. Carlos with a K.
I was 10. That's the fact.
That's the factoid? Not really that interesting. Give me something else. What were you doing? What was Carlos with a K doing at 10?
Dude, I don't remember what I was doing last week, let alone 10.
Where did you live?
I lived in Chicago. That much I remember.
Okay.
I lived in Chicago.
All right. That helps.
I loved building roller coasters with Kinects in 1995.
Is that right?
Yeah.
In 1995, I was a sophomore in high school, and my buddy won a Super Bowl watch party from Price Chopper. And he called me up at 6:30 in the morning before school and said, dude, I won it, because he won some radio contest. And we ultimately, that was the Niners and Chargers Super Bowl. So January 95.
Bloodbath.
Total bloodbath. And it was basically cold cuts and a bag of chips.
That was the watch party.
I think we got a party. We got a 2 liter of Fanta.
Sounds about right. Big radio giveaway.
Exactly.
Fanta.
Local radio at its finest.
Who says radio's dying? It's always been dead.
Oh, look, a big stack of ham. Great.
We got cold cuts, 2 liters of Fanta, and some plastic cups. Happy Super Bowl, everybody. Watch Steve Young torch the Chargers.
The Fanta was very hard to procure. That was the big selling point.
You using procure.
Watch Stan Humphries throw pick 6. Enjoy.
Well, you didn't have to watch that whole game. You could have watched it till halftime.
I think we went outside to play basketball or something. When we come back here on the show, did Al Michaels upgrade the Thursday Night Football package? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
There could only be one fail today, Mr. Mark in Arizona. Mark is in Arizona this morning here on the phones. Mark, good morning.
Well, the Cardinals, actually. I did a little research, and it would seem that our Cardinals, despite all the rumblings in the front office and stuff, might be pretty good this year. What do you think?
You know, at my age, the mind starts playing tricks.
Well, when's Kyler Murray going to come back?
They're estimating week 8.
Death!
That's only the cat.
Oh.
What do you think the Cardinals are in the first half of the season without Kyle?
I want to say at least 5-2,
five and two, or five and three without Kyler Murray. You think they could be 5-2?
If you don't start making more sense, we're going to have to put you in a hole.
The reason I say that because we've got some new people that they brought on that seem quite promising. They got rid of Mr. Hopkins. And Larry Fitzgerald's back.
You already put me in a home.
Larry Fitzgerald? How old is Larry Fitzgerald?
Then we'll put you in the crooked home. It's on 60 Minutes.
Wait a minute. Larry Fitzgerald might be old, but he's got a lot left in him. Because he took, if you remember, he has had at least 4 years or so
of downtime. So he's been resting.
Why I go in and out of comas all the...
So you don't take that into account? I mean, it's possible. Anything is possible when it comes to...
He's almost 40. He's almost 40.
One trick is to tell him stories that don't go anywhere.
How much?
He's going to be... Well, I don't know the total amount, but he's going to be, from what I understand, the highest paid player ever.
And in those days, Nichols had pictures of bumblebees on him.
What was that?
Colt McCoy's going to go 5-2? How long were you going to drag that?
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Back in my day, Nichols had pictures of bumblebees on them.
Today's poll question, do you think Al Michaels' complaints led to a better package of Thursday Night Football for Amazon this season? 72% said, yep. He claims that in a new interview as well. Now, the data department tells us that Alan Richard Michaels was born on November the 12th, 1944, began as a sports writer at Arizona State. In 1970, he appeared as an attorney, Dave Bronstein, in an episode of Hawaii Five-0. Called Run, Johnny, Run, which featured a young Christopher Walken. Is that right? And finally, Game 5 of the 95 World Series would prove to be the only with the final Major League Baseball game that Al Michaels would call, but also the last time a Major League Baseball game would be broadcast on ABC until the 2020 Wild Card game. Is that so? Good factoids. Thanks to Carlos of the K, Carlos Ortiz, our executive producer this week. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and Chris Lopresti on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm DA. The Mothership disconnects.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.